Welcome to Dive Deep. Today we begin our discussion on our Advent series, The Essentials. Our goal in this podcast is to deepen your relationship with God and equip you to live out your faith in ways that change the community around you. Joining me today is Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Hey, thanks, Caleb. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. And as you talked about hope this last week, I think it, in the midst of what our world is facing and just coming into this Christmas season, I think it's something that we really do need to realize God's given it to us. He's promised it to us. And it can change the way that we experience the next month, regardless of the circumstances around us. But I especially appreciated the psalm that you included in your outline, Psalm 42:5. And it said, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." And now as I read that and heard you speak about it, it just made me think, can you talk to the dichotomy of having hope or knowing intellectually that I should have hope, yet still struggling with discouragement or sadness or fear?
Well, you'll find it all through the Psalms. So let me just say that the psalmist was certainly an emotional character. And I think that's why people love the Psalms so much, because they relate to him personally. He really doesn't hold back at all. And yet, just as this particular psalm says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Like, why am I discouraged? Mm. Which I am discouraged.
Right. And I think we all are at times.
Yeah. So he's acknowledging the reality that mm-hmm. I am discouraged and I have been really sad. But where's my hope come from? I've got to think this through again, because my real hope comes from God, and I'm going to put my hope in Him. And here's the key. I'll praise Him again. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I praised Him in the past and that worked. Mm-hmm. I need to do that again, mm-hmm. because realistically, praise is that positive present experience of knowing confidently of who God is. Mm. So, you know, it's a present experience. And so when I start to praise God, I always think that praise is releasing the consequences to God's care. Mm-hmm. And it's praise is really saying, I'm taking control, my control out of this and giving God complete control.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you mentioned that. I felt like there was so much of that woven into the sermon without you outright saying. It's almost as though hope is transferring the control of circumstances over to God, where you're no longer trying to manipulate it, but instead you're allowing Him and you're trusting Him to just work things out.
Well, losing hope is when we kind of feel like it's not working the way we thought it should.
Right.
Which meant I was in control.
Yeah.
And I liked it that way.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm not. And so when I'm out of control, I'm not sure where to go with my feelings. Mm. And so they start moving all over the place. And so trying to kind of pull it down to a point where I'm going to say, okay, my hope is in God, because He's bigger than any circumstance that can be thrown in my way. Mm-hmm. And so that is a trust that is worthwhile putting all my effort into. Instead of saying, oh, this isn't how I planned it. This isn't what I had hoped. This isn't what I thought was going to happen. Mm. And then at that point, I let circumstances dictate my emotions rather than me being in control of those and allow the Spirit to be able to work through those.
Right. And I know we talked a number of times before about different personality types and how that kind of plays out in our faith. It makes me wonder, as we look at, you know, the connection between hope and control, if for those that are more laid back, if it's easier for them to just have hope versus those that try to be more in control or maybe feel more responsible for things, struggling a little bit more with just releasing that control and just trusting and having hope?
Sure. I think there's obviously different personalities that lend themselves in different directions for, you know, just because that's how I'm wired.
Right.
And so some are more moved toward fear, some are more moved toward anger. And because of that, basically, bottom line is always the same. Like, it's like we're not in control.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we deal with it? You know, I get discouraged, depressed, or I get angry and start fighting something.
Sure.
And so
the root is the same, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the root is really, I just need to trust God again.
Yeah.
I just really need to trust him with this.
Well, that's so interesting. If you go back to the very beginning, the fall, Adam and Eve, they wanted to control.
Mm-hmm.
That was why they chose the forbidden fruit. They wanted control.
Right.
And it's so prevalent below the surface.
Oh, absolutely.
In so many of our motivations.
Absolutely.
But it's almost like hope is the antithesis of control.
And so the great importance is understanding, how do I restore my hope?
Yeah, talk more about that. Is there some kind of practice, a process that you go through? Do you like to sing hymns, or is it quiet time? How do you, because you use the analogy of the anchor, and so we have that anchor as Christians, but the boat drifts, as you said, and when you get to that outside bound and you recognize, okay, I'm straying a little too far, I need to place my hope in Christ again. I need to praise him again, as you said earlier. What does that look like? What does that praise like for you, or what have other people done that's been successful?
It's really, I think, basic. It's like not like real complicated or whatever, because I think that, you know, the times when my heart has, I've been discouraged, my heart has been sad, it's because mostly things didn't move in the way I thought they were supposed to move.
Okay, so an expectation that was unmet.
So it was like, you know, I was devastated by this expectation that, you know, and it's not that I was trying to take away from God and him working. I wasn't doing that at all. But somehow in my mind, I thought this is how God's going to work. And then when he didn't, you know, there was disappointment because I felt he should have been doing the way I thought it was supposed to work out.
Right.
And I mean, obviously it's like, okay, let's refocus. Let's pull back. Let's really think about this. And let's put our hope in how God's plan is, not mine. And I think that that's why, you know, scripture says give thanks in all circumstances. And coming off of Thanksgiving, you know, we've talked about a lot about that probably in our homes. But the fact is, the more we give thanks, the less I have control over it. So, because I'm thanking God for this, is this what I wanted? I had another plan.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give thanks in all circumstances. And that releases me from having an expectation, and it releases God to be free to work in my life.
Yeah. Wow. And it really sounds like, you know, so much of this is contingent upon just awareness, not necessarily doing anything, because it's almost about us doing less.
Exactly.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah. Because by nature, we want to do more.
Right.
No. And he really wants us to do less and trust him more.
I think that's if we could get that right in our lives, it would solve so many problems.
Sure. Sure.
Especially in our culture that today that's so busy and so focused on production, and that's the value. That's how you measure your value.
Performance.
Is from what you've done.
Absolutely, performance.
But you that's know, not what always, God tells us.
You know, we always laughed because my father-in-law was definitely a workaholic, and he he measured his day every day by performance. So when I go over and I say, well, so how was your day? Well, and then he'd start, I cut a load of wood, I married a couple, I sold a house, I dug the, I mean, he'd have a whole list. And then he felt good about that day.
Yeah.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with all of those things and doing all that and being a high performance person. That's I get that.
Yeah.
But we can't measure our worth in that. And that's where the danger comes.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting.
It is. And as you talk about measuring our worth in seeing kind of what we expected happen or not seeing it happen, right? I thought it, as you went through the points C and you were talking about all the different characters and the hopes that they had and what happened, it struck me that, you know, Joseph, he was given that hope and that promise through a message from an angel at the very beginning of the pregnancy, but he disappears somewhere between Jesus' adolescence and his public ministry. So really, physically seen in an earthly sense, we can guess, we don't know for sure, but we can guess that he never saw that hope fulfilled.
I don't really know fully what Joseph saw and how much of a single mom Mary was.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all those kinds of thoughts and feelings because it's not documented for us. Mm-hmm. But we do know that each of them had a promise and they had to hold on to that promise despite whatever was thrown at them. And I don't think any one of those characters had an easy time.
It must not have.
I think it was hard, very difficult. And that's why I want to encourage people, if God's given you a promise, doesn't mean that it's going to be easy.
Mm.
Hold on to the promise. It could be really hard. It could be really difficult. Circumstances could be beyond what you ever imagined or expected. But don't give up hope.
Right.
Because that's the faith that's going to carry you through, and it's going to help you see the fulfillment. And if you don't see the fulfillment yourself, it doesn't mean it's still not going to be fulfilled.
Mm.
And just continue to hold on.
I can't think of a better challenge or a better encouragement than that right there.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there must be so many voices in the back of our heads that disqualify what we heard from God or that promise that we were certain of. But as you said, we have to hold on to it.
Yeah. And the promises,
that's hard.
The promises were hard.
Yeah.
You know, you can just imagine like going through what Mary and Joseph would have gone through, like in a small town and an illegitimate child and, you know, all of the feelings and how that child would have even been made fun of and mm-hmm. like would have been, you know, given a hard time. Like, and then he would have come home sad and mother comforting and say, where's the promise? I thought this was the promise. Why is this happening this way? So when you struggle and you go through difficult places, we start to doubt the promise, but you can't do that. Like you have to come back to the point. Not that you don't have those feelings. Of course
sure,
you do.
Yeah.
But you have to come back to the point of saying, nope. Why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? I'll put my hope in God and I will praise him again.
Mm.
And that's going to make the difference.
That's awesome and great message as we go into this Advent season.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Arley, for your time today.
Yeah, thanks.
And thanks for connecting with us today on CWC Dive Deep. If you value the time you've spent here today, join our mission to invest in others by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast wherever you might be listening from. And join us next Monday as we continue our Advent sermon series, The Essentials. If you missed past episodes, you can check those out at cwc.life. Have a great week.